knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in
Stop it.
Andy in Kansas.
Andy.
It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan!
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today,
buddy? My bright spot? Oh, God, something in my eye.
Oh, God, something in your eye.
Oh, that's not my bright spot.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Nelly. All right, I'm okay. I can blink through this.
Oh, my God. Are you okay?
Ooh, yeah, I'll be all right. Okay. My bright spot, Jordan, is this new chair you got me.
Oh!
I got a new chair.
New office
desk chair for my birthday that just arrived. I'm excited. It's in the box still. I have not unpacked it, but it is a bright spot because I spend quite a bit of time at the office,
indeed,
let's say.
Indeed.
And so my chair is quite destroyed.
As I look at it, it is a nightmare.
We have this armrest coming apart.
I mean, the 45 degree angle is just absurd.
It's not good. I favor my left side when I lean, and it leads to I can only imagine what's going on with my spine.
You're sitting in a stretchy beanbag chair. That's insane.
So yeah, I'm excited to get that new chair out, build it up, and hopefully feel a little bit better sitting.
I'm telling you what, man? Lower back, it's better.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jordan. I appreciate that.
You're very
quite
welcome.
A nice gift.
Yeah.
So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is Everything Everywhere All at Once. The movie. Finally saw it. Fucking as good as they say.
That's what I've heard.
It's fantastic.
I've heard people say it's good, and then I've heard other people say it's as good as people say.
It's as good as people say, but it's also really, really great.
Nice.
Yeah. Michelle Yeoh, incredible.
Great.
Just incredible.
I'll check it out eventually. That is definitely one that's like, you know, I don't see a lot of movies, but it's on the short list of ones that I need to get around to.
It's very worth seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, great.
Yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Bright spots achieved.
So, Jordan, today we come to the show in a little bit of a difficult position.
Yeah.
Because of current news with the school shooting in Texas.
Yep.
I made a bit of an executive decision, and that is that we're not going to be talking about Alex and his coverage of that till at least Monday, because it's difficult to say exactly or to put this into words, but I feel like there are sort of two primary objectives of the show, and one is to analyze and deconstruct the narratives and the false reality that's perpetuated by Alex, the sources of it. The sources of his worldview, his ideology, a lot of this anti-communist bullshit. That stuff is very important. But the second goal really is to not do things that are not in service of the audience.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like there is such a rush to get to this that it overcomes the sort of difficulty that people are feeling and how it would be exacerbated by listening to Alex's horrible bullshit about it.
Yep.
So we're going to put that on the back burner, but we will eventually cover his immediate response.
Yeah.
We can do that next week.
It's nice that you can make executive decisions unilaterally, mainly just because my opinion is so predictable. Like, you didn't really need to bring that to me. We didn't need to discuss it.
I think we've had conversations
we've had
about
conversations.
Similar things in the past. About, like, you know, there is not really a pressing news cycle for us necessarily. We can allow things to be until... one aspect of it is the emotional heat and the charge of it.
Of course.
At the moment.
Of course.
And then the second is, I think this case in particular has really illustrated... the difficulty of nailing down facts in the immediate.
Yep.
And
every hour it seems like there's a new piece of information. Mm-hmm. Every hour it seems like there's something somebody has not been completely honest about, or any number of difficult details that we should not be grappling with until we have the totality of them.
Getting a handle,
because that's our show.
Getting a handle on things is pretty difficult while a lot of information is shifting around.
Right.
And, you know, people are still trying to figure out what's going on.
In short, we don't fuck with the wet cement. That's not our thing.
It doesn't help.
Nope.
So we'll have a different episode today. But first, let's say hello to some new folks.
Oh, that's a great
wonks.
Idea.
So first, Nicked Nonk, Policy Wonked, Alex's dog is Bones. Thank you so much. You are now a Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
Thank you very much.
Next, Wally C. Punk. Thank you so much. You are now a Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
Thank you very much.
Next, Darian. This is from Emma.
Oh.
Happy birthday. This actually is a little bit late. Your birthday was on the 19th, but I hope you had a good one. You're now a Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
Happy birthday. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the 19th is a lot sooner than we're used to. That's great.
That's true. That's like a week.
Yeah.
Next, Nico couldn't think of anything funny to say. Thank you so much. You are now a Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
Thank you very much.
Next, non-dairy, call it a sorbet. Thank you so much. You are now a Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
Thank you very much.
What about a sherbet?
That reminds me of...
Sherbert.
Me and... oh, man, that's good stuff. I was Jack Baker's old lactose intolerance joke.
Sure, sure.
He had the closer, and I can't remember his line for it. He did it once, and it got a bigger laugh, and then he kept doing it and made fun of me for giving him the bigger laugh tag, and he got so mad, and to this day, I will lord it over him for as long as I live.
See, anytime I hear sorbet or anything, I think of Danny Callis's joke about sherbet.
Sherbet!
It's not sherbert. Did you know that?
It ain't sherbert!
Ah, good times.
Oh, great stuff.
Comedians that most of the people in the audience have no idea.
Yeah. This was a lot more fun when it was only like 50 people in Chicago.
Sherbet.
Sherbert.
You don't even have to explain the reference.
Nope.
Also, Jordan, we got a technocrat in the mix. So thank you so much to Don't Be Meddling With My Peddling. Don't Be Roaming Where I'm Adrenochroming. Don't Be Screaming When I'm Dreamily Creaming. This is bordering on New World Ordering. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a Policy Wonk. I have risen above my enemies. I might quit tomorrow, actually. I'm just going to take a little breaky now. A little breaky for me. And then we're going to come back. And I'm going to start the show over. But I'm the devil. I got to be taken off here. I'm doing all this. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Fuck you. I got plenty of words for you. But at the end of the day, fuck you and your New World Order. And fuck the horse you rode in on. And all your shit. Maybe today should be my last broadcast. I mean, maybe I'll just be gone a month. Maybe 5 years. Maybe I'll walk out of here tomorrow. And you never see me again. That's really what I want to do. I never want to come back here again. I apologize to the crew and the listeners yesterday that I was legitimately having breakdowns on air. I'll be better tomorrow.
He's not, but we'll never know.
We will never know.
Well, we'll know later, but not today.
Indeed.
Because we're doing something a little bit different today.
Mm-hmm.
And Jordan, there's only one way that we can start this bad boy off.
Hi, everyone. I'm Carrie Cassidy from God, and I am here today to do sort of an overview of quite a few things. And so hopefully this is going to work out and it's going to all make sense.
You didn't say hi.
That's because I was too excited. I didn't expect to see.
Return the hello.
I didn't expect her.
Yeah.
I didn't expect her. It's been so long.
It has.
It's been so long since we've talked to Carrie.
It has been a long time since we checked in with Project Camelot Land and Sweary Carrie Cassidy.
Indeed.
And one of the reasons is I'll periodically watch her updates that she does. She does a thing where she's looking at the camera and breaking down the news. And so much of it has just been QAnon and like COVID conspiracies and stuff. And it's like, where is the space? Where are the aliens?
That's what we're here for.
Right.
Dog traders. That's what we're about.
Well, traders, like mercantile.
Yes, traders.
Dogs.
Miners, not miners.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah,
you have
to be cool.
It's not dogs who have turned their back on the team
right,
that they
exactly.
were on.
Dogs don't do that.
No, they're very loyal.
Yeah.
But today, she had an update within the last week or so, and we have an update on the world, and I am thrilled to report that we are back to aliens. Aliens are in play.
Yes!
And there is major news.
Oh, shit! Finally!
Well, it's actually not news, because it's something that conceivably has to have been going on since like the 70s, but it's news to us.
Yeah.
And that
that's what it's got to. Yeah, absolutely.
So here's where we start off with some of these storylines, and it has to do with a city in Switzerland.
First of all, what I want to talk about is the role of Basel, Switzerland, and the control of what is called the right to issue, and why it's centered in Basel, Switzerland. And as far as I can tell, there's very little talk about this, at least in the circles that I pay attention to. And I'm always gathering more and more information. So I have a whistleblower on the subject who is very well versed and trained as part of this, you know, monetary system that we've had that involves Wall Street, stocks, and all kinds of things.
Wall Street and stocks? Yep.
And aliens in Switzerland. Uh-huh. Hell yeah.
So Basel is a city in Switzerland that's home to the Bank for International Settlements.
Right.
And that's what's going on here.
Gotcha.
The Bank of International Settlements is... The abbreviation. It's like the central banks of the world can meet and sort out issues.
It's the bank of banks.
Somewhat,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But the notion of what Carrie is getting into is like the Bank of International Settlements directly controls all like issuance of currency.
Yes,
of
course.
That's not accurate.
No, it's the Bank of Banks. All the banks go there to discuss what to do with their banks.
So
and then
this all comes from a pamphlet called The Right to Issue, written by a guy named William Calder, which has mostly been reported on by the raving anti-Semite and friend of Leo Zagami, Henry Mackow. The idea is that there's this group called the Sabbateans who pretended to be Jewish people but are actually evil.
Ooh.
And these people are the ones who are controlling all the banks and trying to destroy Western civilization and the world.
There we go.
More or less, it's an interesting workaround where folks who want to maintain all the ideology of hardcore neo-Nazism can do that while pretending that they don't hate Jewish people so they can feel better about themselves. David Icke has spread some of these ideas on Alex's show in the past few years and actually is quite a big proponent of this Sabbatean conspiracy idea.
Yeah.
So I'm not particularly interested in what Carrie has to say about this stuff in terms of finances and shit. I just want to point it out because the words are going to come up later.
Yeah.
The Basel, Switzerland, and what have you.
Right.
And also, it's fun to highlight another instance of Carrie spreading pretty explicitly crypto anti-Semitic shit.
Yeah, you know, that is a turn I did not expect them to take. Whenever it's like, hey, you know, guys, anti-Semitism is wrong, I didn't expect them
it
to just be
bad.
Like, aha, now what if we just say they weren't actually Jews? That's a little twist.
You see sort of wrinkles and kernels of this in a lot of places, like with Ben Shapiro calling Jewish people who vote Democrat like Jewish in name only.
Yep.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Listen, we know we can't openly hate the Jews yet, but we got to get it out somehow, man. It's just in us.
Mm-hmm. So Carrie has a whistleblower on this subject.
Of course she does.
So I have a whistleblower on the subject who is very well versed and trained as part of this, you know, monetary system that we've had that involves Wall Street, stocks, and all kinds of things. They have had training in this area.
Ooh,
and training. They have recently communicated to me that there's, I believe they said 10,000 acres where there are a certain group of families.
Come on now.
I got a download as to the various ET races that are interacting
and controlling
the monetary system on Earth recently. And so I wanted to wrap that into that understanding of the right to issue.
So 10,000 acres is approximately twice the size of the entire city of Basel in Switzerland.
That's pretty big.
The city isn't just the Bank of International Settlements. It's Switzerland's third most populated city.
Ooh, that's a big city. That's a big city.
Well, for Switzerland.
Sure.
You know, and actually someone famous was born there.
Basel?
No. Do you know? You don't know who it is?
Basel, Switzerland.
I should know.
It's somebody who was a writer and who did the things.
Nope.
Who is it?
Roger Federer.
Was it?
Yep.
No shit.
Yeah, your boy. Your boy Federer.
I don't know where anybody's born.
Because you love tennis.
Well, sure, but I don't love people being born.
Fair enough. So, at this 10,000 acres or whatever,
yeah,
there's like the control of the banks that's
sure.
going on.
Sure.
And aliens are really interested.
Okay,
in this.
Of course.
There's a group of ET races that seem to be vying for control and keeping control over the monetary system. So first of all, there are the reptilian Dracos. So I put them more
of
or
course.
Less in the same bucket.
For sure.
And the grays around, you know, the grays out there, the various gray races report to the reptilians and the Draco. And then we've got those beings from Aldebaran that are, from what I understand, humanoid and might actually be reptilian humanoid hybrids.
Okay.
Wait. So they've got their own planet of reptilian humanoid hybrids?
Yes.
Aldebaran.
Yes.
Okay.
I only correct you because they will factor heavily into
this
conversation.
Yes, I believe that. I want to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
Aldebaran is ostensibly, based on what Carrie is telling us,
mm-hmm.
an entire system devoted to when the Draco reptilians and the humanoids got together and made a hybrid race, and they just gave them a planet. And we're like, stay on Aldebaran.
Maybe.
Because that's kind of what I'm hearing.
There's
here.
Not concrete details here, but yes, maybe. Who knows? So one of the things that I was thinking about is, like, this is such a manifestation of, like, weird narcissism.
Oh, totally.
To imagine that multiple alien groups are fighting with each other over our banking system.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would they care?
No, okay. So listen. All right. You have traveled several thousand light years, maybe even a million light years, and you are like, shit, the franc is not stable enough for me to invest in right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to have to go to the euro.
As go the euro, so goes the
so
universe.
So goes the universe. The euro.
I feel like if there are these, let's say, space-faring groups
yes.
of aliens...
Yeah.
They don't give yeah. They shouldn't give a fuck if we end up destroying ourselves.
Are they?
It would be nice if there were another species of alien that ended up, like the humans ended up becoming spacefaring as well. Maybe that would
Hold
be
on.
Nice, but it's not make or break.
Let me throw this out at you because I think it might blow this whole thing wide open. All right? Maybe the only reason that all the other races became spacefaring and we didn't is because we're the only ones that invented speculative currency.
Whoa.
So they come here because nobody else knows how to gamble like Americans
or
and the humans race.
Counter argument. Maybe all of these spacefaring races became spacefaring only after aliens fought over their monetary system.
Right, exactly. Yes. That's the catalyzing incident that takes us all to the stars, man.
Who knows? So there's these aliens that are fighting for control of our banks.
Sure.
So far, we've got the reptilian Dracos.
Yep.
We've got the Aldebarans.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the Raptors are in play.
Well, you can't have Raptors without Mark Richards leading the show.
Mark Richards does actually come up later.
Oh, he does?
Yes. But okay. She hasn't been to visit him yet. But
damn.
He's still a whistleblower. Yeah, I guess they like chocolate more than money and antiques.
Yeah. What do the Raptors have to do with the monetary system? They're going around with Jurassic Park World, you know, like they're having a great time.
Yeah. So there's other aliens, though.
Uh-huh.
Then there's the Anunnaki that are Pleiadian humanoid reptilian hybrids. And certainly there can be more. For example, the beings from Venus, which whether they're Pleiadian or not, or all go back to Lyra. So that
what
my understanding is, the humanoid races tend to go back, all stem from Lyra, the Lyra system, but they could also have originated in other parts of the multiverse. And
that's kind of the definition of the multiverse.
And then also there are the beings coming and going from Venus. So these are the main, from what I can tell, ET races that are trying to control our monetary system and vying for control of Earth.
So I think those are all bad, though, right?
Yeah.
According to her?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we don't know as much about the Aldebaran aliens from our journeys.
Well, neither does she.
I know the Draco are bad.
They are bad.
I know the Anunnaki are bad.
Yeah. The Pleiadians are good, though.
Yeah, but the Pleiadian human hybrid
Draco,
whatever.
Those are
but
a
that's
whole
the
mess.
Anunnaki.
Right. And then the Greys are always up in the air.
Well, they're snitches.
Yeah.
They work for the Draco.
They do.
They're the informants.
They have played both sides in the past.
No, they haven't.
Yes, they have.
Maybe they have. I don't remember. All this changes from day to day. I have no idea. I generally hear of them as being the people who report back to the minions of the Draco, the reptilians.
I like in our version of Project Camelot, we've built our own kind of backstory mythology to where now we're like arguing about whether or not Tom Bombadil was in the right spot in Fellowship. You know,
there
like
are aliens that are absent from this calculus.
Right.
There are so many different...
Right.
Fucking aliens that are just based on animals.
Where
are the mantis
beings?
Where are the cats?
We got bugs.
Right.
We got the beetle beings.
Right.
We got them all up in there.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about underwater, Lord knows what's under
there's
there.
There's an octopus somewhere, probably.
Totally.
So, yeah, I don't know why they aren't coming in to help with this battle for the monetary system.
I think I love the breadth of answer that you get where you go from, well, you know, I think most humanoids are originally from the Lyra system.
Yeah.
But they could have been from somewhere else in the multiverse. Yeah, man.
That's called playing the field.
That's everywhere.
Yeah.
That's multiples of everywhere.
It's basically saying nothing.
They could have come from anywhere, man.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Could have been anything. We don't know.
It's my understanding they come from here, but they could come from literally anywhere else. Awesome. Thank you. So now the Aldebaran aliens are important for today.
Sure.
And that's because there's a certain thing that happened at some point, and it involves an entire continent.
Sure.
On planet
Earth. Did we know about it?
We didn't.
Oh, no.
No one knows about this.
And I also was in contact with another whistleblower on the same subject that I'm going to talk about here, that basically Gordon Duff talked about. I have, it turns out to be three other very substantial whistleblowers. One is Captain Mark Richards. The other is a very longtime contact of Project Camelot. And the other is this other whistleblower who brought forward important information on the subject. And the subject is how it's actually based on, there's a movie, and I've talked about this before, so those of you out there who follow my work might know what I'm talking about.
So surprised.
But it centers around a television series called The Event, which is actually a depiction of a real situation that we're having here on planet Earth to do with various ET races,
mm-hmm.
and those, but specifically the race from Aldebaran.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So the Aldebaran,
races,
it's like the show The Event.
Right, right.
So she mentioned Gordon Duff in there.
Yeah.
And this is a guy who writes for Veterans Today.
Okay.
And I think what she's talking about, because she's not specific about this, but in 2013, Gordon Duff published a post on Veterans Today titled, quote, The Little Green Guy Book, which was a guide to various alien races that is very much not a real document or anything other than someone having a good time.
Okay.
It's not official. It's not from any government. It's just a fun book with pictures of what someone thought aliens would look like. It's like the Monster Manual.
Right, basically. Right. It's the DM's manual. Gotcha.
Yeah. My favorite of the races of the aliens in this is the Jeffok. The J-E-F-O-K. Here's what's known about them.
Oh, my God. Don't tell me that it's Jeff's.
No.
Okay.
Everyone's named Jeff.
Oh.
No. Quote, their first sighting on Earth dates back to 1500 B.C. They met with JFK 3 weeks before he was killed. They also have, around the same time, met with other human world leaders.
Ooh.
They have not been seen on Earth since JFK's death. They've been coming around since 1500 BC. JFK died.
Either they had something to do with it, or that was the last straw for them.
Yeah,
if you guys are going to kill JFK, we're out of here.
No, they're noted as peacekeepers, and so they probably wouldn't have been involved in killing JFK.
Sure.
So they're probably just like, shit's too hot. They killed a president. We're out of here.
Can't be doing. Yeah. We can't keep this peace.
No, they didn't leave after Lincoln or the Civil War.
Nope. No. You can kill Lincoln all day.
Right. Also, strangely, U.S. focused.
Well, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Anyway, that was part of the impetus for some of the... I guess maybe the Aldebaran aliens are in that Monster Manual. But so she has other sources that tell her that the show The Event is real.
Does it ever occur to these people that it is odd that all of the movies that they are referencing are all in English, as though no one else in the world made movies about aliens.
And most of them aren't that good.
That's true.
I think I watched the event, and I was really disappointed because I have it cataloged in my mind as kind of the same as, like, Terra Nova.
Yeah.
Or Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these shows that I was like, man, this could be the sweet spot.
Yeah.
And then it just was nothing.
Yeah.
That sort of post-Lost desire for something.
Yeah, the sweet spot when everybody was like, there's got to be one central mystery.
I thought Flash Forward had a lot of potential, too. Mm. And then I hated it. And then in the finale, I liked it again. And then it got canceled, and I was pissed off.
Well, goddamn it.
Yeah.
I just come back.
Yeah, they got me again.
Oh, you bastards.
But yeah, the event is real.
Yep.
And here's what's going on with the Aldebarans.
Okay.
The story goes that the race from Aldebaran destroyed what I understand to be not just one planet of theirs in their system, but two. And they got into a situation where they wanted to come to Earth and basically terraform and take over a certain portion of our territory. And that a negotiation took place so that we could go into outer space and take over certain planetoids or planets where we could establish colonies with their help. And that at the same time, they would be given a portion of our landmass, which was Africa. So
wow.
I know this sounds crazy to
it sure
people
does.
Out there, but this is actually something that Gordon Duff talked about on Veterans Today many years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So in exchange for help with planet colonies,
right.
someone gave Africa to
Aldebaran
aliens.
Who do you ask for Africa?
I don't know if
who's the number?
I don't know if she has, I don't know if I included a clip of it, but she does point out that some of the smaller countries in Africa were not thrilled with this.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah. Well, yeah. They weren't consulted. Who gave them? Who do you go to? What's the contact info for, like, listen, we got this big treaty. I need some colonies off-world, but I gotta say, we want all of China. No, we're not doing China, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Earth. We don't just give China away to anybody. All right, fine. We'll take South America. Oh, whoa. You trying to lowball us?
Yeah, I guess maybe they worked it out with the International Bank of Settlements or something, and they're like, take Africa. Very weird.
Yeah, that is
strange. Weird.
Man, but that is such that slight little bit of, you know, you're being racist when you just say they gave him Africa. I know it. Everybody knows it.
I think some of the themes in this story also reinforce that a little bit.
Okay, that makes
sense. And maybe a convenient way to explain away some things of...
Right. I don't like the whole continent of Africa because of aliens.
Well, no, it's not so much that, but there are some thoughts that I have.
Okay.
So anyway, the Aldebarans, they came to secret bases.
Sure.
And then went around into Africa.
To get back to the Aldebaran story, is the story as we were told by a whistleblower that has been substantiated again by at least three other substantial sources.
Now there's three.
Including Gordon Duff.
Who again?
Is that the beings from Aldebaran expressed they wanted to come here. We gave them this landmass. They have disguised themselves. They have some kind of ability. They do look, you know, the normal sort of blonde, blue-eyed, I don't know what you want to call that, humanoid, even you might call them the Nordic type of look, right, of a typical Nazi, but they seem to be able to change their appearance. And so what they did is they camouflaged themselves. They turn their skin dark, more, you know, like black type, the black races, to blend in with the races of Africa.
So how does that grab you?
Wait, hold the fucking phone. Did she just say that aliens created Rhodesia and then when they got caught, they just turned themselves Al Jolson-y? Is that what's going on here?
I'm not sure, but I do think that there is some connection to like explaining away apartheid.
Yeah, that has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no way you can have a, well, classic Nazis in Africa, not apartheid, right?
Well, I think let me play the next clip, because I think that there's some information that comes here that made me feel a little bit more
okay.
along these lines.
Okay.
So these same bases then became sort of a place, a distribution place, where these races from Aldebaran, these beings who, again, were kind of like refugees from another planet, coming into Africa, families, et cetera, and then dropped off in South Africa, where this particular whistleblower actually told us that what happened was they began to see all of a sudden that they had populations that they in numbers that they never knew where they came from. And they appeared kind of out of nowhere in the immigration record, I guess. And then they would take trains and leave South Africa and go into the rest of Africa and establish themselves. And because they looked like the peoples of Africa, they got under the radar.
I think that by doing this kind of a framing, you're able to explain away all sorts of inconvenient things mm-hmm. about the history of Africa.
Yeah.
For instance, you could say, in the same way that the anti-communist folks, they have their support of apartheid is based on like, oh yeah, Nelson Mandela and all them, that it wasn't about like human rights, it
sure.
was about pushing communism,
right,
you know,
course.
There's that,
right,
and it's sort of the same way you could do this. It's like, this wasn't like a fight for human rights, this
right.
was the Aldebarans
right.
Who are trying to overthrow apartheid
right
systems.
right.
You know, and hey, you know, one of the features of apartheid is a very small minority is ruling over another majority group by force. If there's a whole bunch of people that come in, maybe that's why there's a majority. It's a mess.
I mean, it does kind of feel like what just happened there is she described apartheid and then the end of apartheid being the people who caused apartheid changing their skin black and disappearing, leaving those poor, innocent white people to deal with the fallout.
I understand where that's coming from. I get less of that.
Okay.
I get more of the Aldebarans came.
Mm-hmm.
They camouflaged to appear like the people in Africa.
Okay. So then it was the white people who were just fighting back against the Aldebaran, and apartheid was actually great.
Well, it's possible that could be an interpretation.
Right.
Or it could be an interpretation that the Aldebaranis were just trying to take control of places.
Sure.
And so the fight for human rights in places like
right.
Zimbabwe and in South Africa, overthrowing those systems, were actually the Aldebarans trying
right.
to take control.
Right.
Things like the remnants of the colonialism
mm-hmm.
In places like Rwanda.
Sure.
You could take that as some sort of influence of the Aldebarans.
Right.
You know, you can basically take cultural responsibility away from human actors.
Hey, it's not their
and
fault.
Place a lot of it onto aliens.
Aliens
if you
keep causing problems for us.
Right. I feel like there's a little bit of that.
What I am hearing is that the root cause is somebody just gave away Africa without letting enough people know.
Yeah, that's weird.
That seems way more the problem here, if that's the case.
Yeah, I also think that there is a very, very strong chance that we are overreading this.
I think that's our job.
Just trying to grasp at straws to make any of this make sense in the real world.
I think the thing that blows my mind, though, in her reality is when she keeps saying we. Like when she refers
right,
to
right.
we gave them Africa.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's like you're describing a group of humans so powerful they can just give away a continent to aliens without telling anybody. They're functionally aliens as well.
Yeah, you can't don't lump yourself in with
yeah,
that group.
Yeah, yeah, we're
not you.
We're not part of this, man.
Nah.
I don't want none of this on my hands.
So one of the reasons that I associated this a little bit with possible ideas about apartheid is that she said that they came into South Africa.
Yeah.
And the other reason is because there's a potential time frame given in this next clip?
70s to early 90s?
Uh-oh.
I don't know what the actual number of these beings are. I do know that it's very possible, but that what they're calling Ebola is actually could be a reaction to or sort of a disinfo campaign to keep people away from the interior of Africa. And so to keep these this race hidden.
Well, you know, the first case of Ebola was identified in 1976.
Yeah. Yeah.
Resistance to apartheid was quite strong around that time.
Yeah.
That was when the beginnings, or maybe not the beginnings, but a large push for the overthrowing of the system.
Right.
Were happening.
Well, the system didn't treat Ebola well when it came to people that were not white.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah.
And also, it's interesting that she's saying that it's to keep people away from Central Africa, because there were Ebola outbreaks in Central Africa before, but the most recent one was very much the Atlantic coast in Northern Africa, like Sierra Leone.
I think she's more just saying the center of Africa, because that seems like a cooler place to say, you know, like you're not going to say like they're keeping people away from the coast. Well, you can't keep people away from the coast. You can keep people away from the center.
In fairness, some of the earlier outbreaks were more like in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Sure.
But like the other thing too is that like if she's saying that Ebola is somehow a cover to keep people away so they don't uncover the existence of the Aldebaran aliens.
Right.
First of all, that's silly.
Yeah.
But second of all, that means that there is a time frame, because that would mean that it can't exist prior to 1976.
No, it does seem that to be the case.
It has to be for 76 onward. That's the time frame of this. So it can't even have to do with Eisenhower allegedly negotiating with aliens.
No.
Because that would have been out of the time frame.
Yep. This is pure apartheid.
I think so.
I don't think there's any other way.
I can't hear it other way. The details are too, like...
In the world that we are talking
about... It's these places where the aliens came in were the same places that gold was sent
so
to space.
So strange.
It's like, come on.
I mean, listen, we're talking about people who have a, let's call it Eurocentric, an understatement towards their outview.
Mm.
And the idea that they would know anything about Africa beyond apartheid blows my mind. So I'm going to have to go with that.
I'm not even certain that she does.
Yeah, that's another part of it. That's also possible.
So Ebola maybe is a false flag campaign to keep people away from Africa so they don't uncover the Aldebarans.
Right.
But also there's another possibility.
Okay.
But there's also sort of a catch, which is that although they look human, what is the situation is that, and this is in the movie The Event, which is a series you can watch
the
on
movie, a
Netflix.
Series.
And
the movie
also,
The Event,
I think
a
Amazon
television series.
Or, you know, it used to be free. Towards the end, it is revealed that although they're humanoid or look very human, they actually need a different atmosphere than us, and that they... exposure of us to them alters our DNA, or actually, you know, can act as a kind of poison to us, which is possibly reflected in a disinfo campaign that they call Ebola.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if that's the case, then it's even stronger evidence that it has to be 1976 forward.
Right.
Because then
it's they
a reaction
it.
To
yeah.
the Aldebaran aliens.
Yeah, absolutely.
So... That puts an even more concrete thing.
Yeah, you can't claim it's some sort of ancient Ebola that's Mm-mm. come back. You're saying that Ebola didn't exist, and we know that it only started in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a disinfo campaign created specifically around a certain purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know what to think here.
I'm telling you, her sources are probably racists.
And they just know stuff, man.
They just know stuff.
Yeah.
If... you get near an Aldebaran alien, you may be poisoned or not, because it might be a disinfo campaign or it could be Ebola.
Well, but Ebola has to exist.
Right.
Because Carrie also has some news to drop on you here.
Wait, so there's also Ebola outside of the disinfo possibility of Ebola?
I think so.
Okay.
we know that the COVID was turning people into vampires.
Of course.
In China.
Absolutely. Had to bar people in. Uh-huh. Yeah.
With garlic nails.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's also something about the vaccine that is news here.
Now, it's well known that Ebola was actually an ingredient, or is an ingredient, of the vaccines. So this story that I'm telling now does reflect back into the whole COVID last 2 years, which is what I've said over and over again, a transhuman agenda with basically collateral damage, where they don't care how many people can't handle the change. They're trying to change our genome.
So yeah, there's Ebola in the vaccines.
Right.
And it is trying to change our genome. So presumably, coming in contact with the Aldebaran aliens would just do this to you.
You would assume.
Right. But right. If you have too much, then you get Ebola.
Yeah.
But if you don't, then it just changes your genome.
Sure.
In a way that these Aldebaran aliens want to happen.
Right.
And they're sort of collaborating with the New World Order on
sure.
this.
Sure. Because they don't care. It's all about the transhumanism.
Right. And some people will be able to handle it, and they can become transhuman,
right.
and the rest, they may die, and who
right.
cares? Collateral damage, baby!
I'm going to give you a list of people who have put Ebola inside of a supposed vaccine or thing designed to stop you from getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Adams.
Yep.
End of list.
Well, did he invent the COVID vaccine?
Maybe.
Yeah, so that's it's weird, but I think one of the things you can see is, like, there's a lot of thematic parallels with Alex,
yes, very much.
The end goal being this transhumanism or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that's very similar.
I mean, in this context, it's kind of interesting to see the way that a futurism is combined with such an obsessed conservatism as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh, look at all these alien races. The stars are available. We're signing intergalactic treaties. Listen, I am not going to get weird, okay? We're going to live the same way we fucking do.
No.
I'm not going to get a vaccine.
No.
None of my genome is going
to be
changed.
We need to be reactionary and go to the past.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
We have to go back to the gold standard.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yes, now that I know the vast infinity of the multiverse is available to me, I want to go back to South Africa during apartheid.
Yeah, it's futurism mixed with obsession with the past and reverting back.
Such a weird...
Yeah.
It's a weird, like, futuristic Civil War reenactment.
It's convoluted.
Yeah.
So I think we're fucked if Carrie is right about any of this, because it just seems like too much to fight.
Okay.
There is this ongoing relationship with various ET races that the New World Order is all about controlling. And they want to control, of course, the secret space program.
Of course.
Or programs around the world. And right now it's centered in the United States, as I've said, with the opposite being China. And there are a different
kind of a yin and yang, if you
that
will.
Is dealing with China, a certain, I think, group of the Draco reptilians or Dracos, probably. And then we understand perhaps the spider beings and a few other type beings that the Chinese are being helped by, that they're being influenced by. So, and you've got then you've got each ET, okay, every ET race.
Sure.
That becomes a spacefaring race creates an AI. So then we also have,
but not speculative,
at least four AIs that are influencing the Earth in circumstances right now that are not negative towards humans.
What?
So that's another thing that we're dealing with on top of our dealings with all these different ET races.
That's too much to deal with.
Holy shit, man. So we got these alien races, but really all we're kind of dealing with then is the four AI, though. Because they're the ones orchestrating all of this.
Yeah, but you still have spider beings we're going to have to fight at some point.
Sure. I mean...
And then the reptilian Dracos.
But I feel like we got to negotiate with the AI. Maybe the AI can help us out.
The Aldebaran are clearly not up to anything good.
They do not have good intentions.
It doesn't seem like it.
Why is China being influenced by the spider beings?
Because they needed a role. They hadn't been mentioned yet, I guess.
It does feel like this is a cameo.
Yeah.
And playing the role of Chinese administrator, it's the Spider Beings.
Yep.
So through the COVID rollout, bioweapon, and the vaccines.
Sure, with the fake and real Ebola.
Right. This is all a plan, right? In order, here's what the plan is. And it comes back to the Ebola and the vaccines,
All right, okay.
Basically, what they're building is an army of beings to fight any incoming threat, especially androids coming from these other AIs and AI cultures out in the larger solar systems and galaxies. So we are, this is what I call a humanity 3.0 program. And COVID is very much part of that.
What was 2.0?
That was the Cybermen from Doctor Who.
Okay.
So these are androids.
Oh,
right?
From the event.
Yeah. From Doctor Who, the event.
Right. Look, I think there's a coherent plan here.
Is there a coherent plan?
Yes. The COVID vaccine will turn some people into
super soldiers.
Right. Automatons
to
that
fight
will mindlessly be able to fight against the incoming cyborgs that alien AI are creating.
Right. What do you think? Why does everybody think AI cultures are going to be human cultures, but like angry towards us?
Mm-hmm. Well, so what's an AI culture?
I mean, it's whenever a bunch of AI get together and they like start a band.
International AI settlement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of settlements.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know what any of this is. I don't know what AI culture is. I don't like. Is it AI together, or is it a society that's run by an AI?
I don't know. I think it's both.
Uh-huh.
I think it's neither. I think all is possible in the multiverse, buddy.
You really did like that movie.
I really did.
Yeah, so killing people isn't really the goal, necessarily, with the COVID vaccines.
Well, there's so many people and AI and aliens. Why would you even bother killing people? Killing seems way beyond us at this point.
This is a harsh split from Alex's ideology, where depopulation is the number one goal.
Right.
Not so much.
No.
Eliminating populations is not as crucial for them, although they're certainly involved in it. And the Chinese very specifically. In fact, Mark Richards told me 2 years ago before this whole thing started that he had gotten word that the Chinese had decided they needed to get rid of at least 500 million or more of their own people. And they are still, as you see, you know, doing lockdowns, probably spraying their people with this more versions of the bioweapon, making sure that more and more people die and don't just get transformed into this cybernetic type army. So we have that going on.
We got that going on.
That's so mind-bogglingly evil. She just described it in such a banal...
Sure.
Like, oh, so what they're obviously doing is spraying people with murder juice.
China is trying to bring down their population, whereas the rest of the world...
Right.
Is trying to create cybernetic armies to fight cyborgs.
Of course. It seems like Mark Richards has his hand on the pulse.
Totally.
Of global affairs.
Also, if Mark told her about this before...
Right.
Man.
What has she been doing for the past 2 years?
Someone should have warned people.
She could have sent a text. Mm-hmm. Somebody.
Mm. So the thing with the vaccine, it's kind of unclear if the Ebola is the same thing as the graphene oxide that she's very scared of about this vaccine.
Right.
But the graphene oxide is apparently the same as like the black goo.
Mm.
Right?
Yes.
And so there was this guy who was a researcher in the paranormal world and what have you, a guy named Max Spears.
Mm-hmm.
And he died a few years back. And Carrie believes that he was killed by the black goo.
He's killed by the black goo.
Yes.
Okay.
And here is a little bit of her inside information that she has about the case.
I got it.
What happened to Max Spears and his death when he went to Cyprus and came back and was dying? I was actually on the phone with one individual that was on the site there at the time. Apparently, Max was dying in the other room. They were trying to call some help. Then doctors came but couldn't do anything. they left, and eventually they came back to take the body away, and they didn't allow them to take that body away. Instead, they spent several days trying to reanimate
him. And what
possibly
now?
Doing a lot of black magic rituals around that. And what he was dying of appears to have been a COVID infestation or takeover of his body, because there was black stuff coming out of various, you know, his eyes and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so it was probably a COVID infestation as manifested by the black goo.
Right. Okay.
And then they tried to reanimate him for a few days.
Man, I always forget that magic is also real.
Right. Doing arcane rituals.
That one got... I'm like, oh, yeah, we're in space. We're doing all the space stuff. And they were also doing black magic to reanimate his body. What?
Yeah.
Why they can travel through stars, but we're still fucking cauldrons? We got ingredients. Mm-hmm. Oh, please come back to life, young boy.
Also, to what end?
That's not important.
Why?
Don't ask for motive. Why? Motive is a bad road to go
why
down.
Why reanimate this guy? Doesn't seem important.
Because he's got goo.
Right.
He's got all that fucking goo, man.
Right. This long, long predated COVID. So yep. I guess the way around that is the black goo is COVID. So COVID's been around forever.
Right.
Or something.
Which means Steve Pachenik... cured himself of the black goo.
Yes, that is true.
That is possible. And now it's
apparently all
it
takes is antibiotics.
All it takes is antibiotics.
Also, like every oil wreck is like black goo because it looks like black goo.
Because it's got black goo.
Right.
You know, what else do you need?
She does actually talk about that, how it's like the one big oil spill was like the black goo eating through the bottom of a boat.
Oh my God. So funny.
It's, but hey, here's the good news.
Uh-huh.
There are multiple goos.
Of course. There's so many goos. There's the gray goo. That's the nanobots, right? The gray goo where everybody turns into the nanobots.
No, but that's bad, too.
Yeah, that's super bad.
But look, there's positive goos.
There's positive.
Yeah. And also, like, that last clip, you know, obviously one of Lovecraft's books is Herbert West, Reanimator.
Right.
And this also gets a little bit Lovecrafty.
Okay.
There's a Cthulhu vibe to this.
Alec Newell is sort of an ET contactee with these blue aliens. I believe he was Navi. Living in...
Nice.
As far as I remember, I thought it was New Zealand. But
Watto.
I read his books many years ago. And he talks about an ET race. I'm not sure if it's the same race or whether the race just revealed the information. But they were aware of this negative level. Black goo that is again AI that was put here by an ET race to be activated at a certain point in our history, which obviously has happened by now and happened beginning in the Falklands. And
of course,
that there is so this is embedded in the earth under the oceans.
What is,
you know, and was always going to wake up and start to infiltrate our planet.
Obviously.
Then supposedly there's another ET race that is trying to stop it, but it's obviously not being very successful at the moment. And then there is a version of that black goo or oil type substance that is supposedly even deeper in the earth that is positive.
Oh,
that's so nice.
Yeah.
So we got a layer. So we got us.
Uh-huh.
All right. Then we got the Earth's crust.
Well, yeah.
Then we got the mantle.
Uh-huh.
Then we got black goo.
Right. And what is dead may never die. In strange eons,
exactly.
Even death may die.
Yes.
In its house in Rillier, the black goo lays dreaming.
And then a few layers below that, right above the core, we've got the good goo.
Good goo.
Good goo.
It's also apparently
that's
oil.
That's ready and waiting for us. When we need the good goo, it'll pop out at any moment. And these other people trying to stop the black goo, they suck at their job.
They're not doing great.
That's the review.
These other aliens are not doing great.
That is her review of other aliens we've not met before.
We've probably met them.
Well, it's possible.
Yeah. Look, I don't know.
Obviously, they suck at their jobs.
Right. I feel powerless to do anything in her world.
Get a shovel. We can get down to that goo.
I don't think so. I think you need more than a shovel. Then you're going to have to get through the other bad goo first.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That is true.
There's no way you're going to get to the good goo.
No, that's so far deep.
Yeah.
It gets hot down there.
If any of this is true, just live your life. Who cares?
Just move on. Why are you even caring?
Yeah.
That is it is fun.
If any of this is true, write a book.
Why would you be afraid? If any of this
write
is true.
Write a science fiction book based on what you know to be true and then make some money and live your
just
life.
Just move on.
Yeah, because you're not going to be able to make any difference in the world of various goos.
Yeah, I mean, it is almost paralyzing and yet at the same time comforting of being like, if I lived in this universe that she says we inhabit, what would I be afraid of? Like, everything could kill me.
Sure.
Right now, everything could kill
me. You know, outside my window, there's a tree?
Totally.
It's a tree being.
It's a tree being, right? Yeah. You know, like, there's anything.
They're notoriously hostile to humans.
People could be doing a black magic spell on me right now, and
probably,
I wouldn't
probably
know.
Probably are.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. So why would you be afraid? You've just got black magic and shit flying around. There's goos fighting
Everybody
each other.
Everybody send Jordan tweets about the black magic rituals you're doing against him. Yeah, it's silly.
Yeah.
So we end this update on the world with a couple of clips about some figures in the media.
Okay.
The first is Vladimir Putin.
Oh, how's he doing with his alien buddies?
We got some updates.
Uh-oh.
I know that Russia is working with us in the secret space program.
Amazing.
Regardless of how it looks on the surface, Earth. The Russians are also working with a certain set group of ETs that apparently are more positive than they used to be. And that this version of Putin, who is in essence a clone, is not the original Putin. And it's a much more positive oriented being and is working with Trump and the White Hats behind the scenes. And we're going to see where that all leads.
It's not leading anywhere good right now. Also, I think that she just proved Russian collusion.
I mean, I don't know. Go back to space. Go back to space. We don't need you down here on Earth telling us that Putin's a clone that's actually good.
If the fruits of positive aliens are the war in Ukraine, I'm not interested in positive aliens.
We once again go back full circle. Clearly, the Draco and the reptilians are good because Mark Richards hates them.
Well, I mean,
and the raptors are bad because Mark Richards
likes
them.
Well, obviously, like, she believes that the COVID stuff is a bioweapon and the black goo and all this, and that there are bio labs in Ukraine that Russia is actually after and attacking.
Yeah.
So that's how she can rationalize
that
it's a positive thing, but. I mean, the reality of what she's justifying through fantasy is outrageous.
Yeah, that is fucked.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those where I do feel like she's got that moment of where it's like, either I can wrestle with what I've accidentally walked my space ass into supporting fucking Putin and deal with that.
No.
Or I go all the way.
Yeah, we need a painfully elaborate conspiracy to make this not
awful. This is
going to
go so hard.
Speaking of that, here is her thoughts on Elon Musk.
Oh, God.
Now, I'm not sure if I've mentioned, but Elon Musk is... okay, so I have my own take on him. And my understanding, what I was seeing was a cyborg. I believe he's run by a good set of, whether it's an AI or a group of ETs, I don't know. But for the most part, he seems fairly positively oriented. But he did grow up and was totally backed by our secret space program during the time when it was completely run and dominated by the New World Order. So he has been positioned purposely to be playing his role that he's playing now. Whether he's turned against his sort of operators or whether he is actually fulfilling a role that they prefer he play and where that might lead, I don't know.
Yeah, so he's a cyborg, man.
Wow. Because I would have said that he is the avatar of American white male failure being rewarded as the richest man in the world.
Cyborg.
Yeah. Well,
one of the two.
if you were creating something in the lab to more accurately reflect back on America, every failure that it's ever made and what it looks like, that would be Elon Musk.
Well, I think painting him as a cyborg that's under the control of some hyper-powerful alien or AI kind of gets you around having to explain some of his behavior, some of his past. All that stuff is kind of like, well, he's not, you know.
We can still...
He's under control of aliens. He's a cyborg.
I do appreciate the absurd willingness to bend your back over to make a monster seem okay to you. That's
that seems like that's what a lot of this is.
I mean,
Mark Richards, Putin,
yeah, that's
Musk.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That's loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Dan, I'm just gonna say this right now. If you were like, hey, I'm gonna lead to the deaths of thousands, if not millions, of people, I'd be like, Dan, I don't think we can be friends anymore. I'm not gonna explain away your behavior,
Jordan. I'm gonna buy Twitter.
Shit, we're not friends anymore.
Fair enough.
Okay.
So what if Musk takes us to Mars, though? Wouldn't that be cool?
Can we leave him there?
Maybe.
I don't know how aware Elon is of what he actually is or not. So I'm not trying to insult him. But this is what, you know, you can't help what you see. So then on top of it, someone wrote to me and said that there was a book written, I don't know if they said 100 years ago or whenever it was, that depicted a character called Elon, who would eventually be made president of Mars. And so I don't have a copy of that book, but this is what I heard. You can investigate and see if you can find it. That's quite fascinating.
So Carrie clearly hasn't looked into this at all, because if she had, she'd have a much better conspiracy about it.
Oh, yeah?
That book is called Project Mars, and it was written, published, as it were, in 1953. It was written by Nazi rocket scientist Wernher von Braun.
Ooh.
She could add that in. That would be an extra part that would be
wow.
It would add to the conspiracy.
Wait, so Wernher von Braun essentially used his imagination to pull Elon Musk from the multiverse and inflicted him upon us here. That's what you're telling me, right?
No, he wrote a book.
Oh, okay.
That is I read some parts of it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's good sci-fi.
No.
It's maybe sci-fi written by a Nazi rocket scientist.
Mako Sharkrampa?
Not that bad.
Not that bad.
But in the book, the person who takes humans to Mars isn't named Elon.
Mm.
The office of the presidency in the Martian government is called the Elon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the level of information that Carrie has on this topic is basically just what you'd get from seeing a meme or something.
Right.
And that's good enough. Why look into it?
Don't.
Because if you sincerely believe this meant something, wouldn't you have read the book? Wouldn't you have you'd know damn well what the name of the book was, who wrote it, what the connection to Elon is? Because if you believe it has a meaning, it would help you understand what's happening in the present day, because there would be other information. It's not like that one piece of trivia is the only thing that's important there.
Right. So what you're saying is that if you heard maybe third or fourth hand that a prophecy might have existed in a book that may exist,
and
that
was written
you
by Wernher von Braun
about Elon, then you would go like, oh, I should read that book.
Oh, and guess what? Carrie also believes that the Nazis could time travel.
Yeah.
So
that
would be
makes
even
perfect
more
sense.
Important
I mean, I'm starting to believe in this conspiracy theory. If the Nazis could go back in time, then the rockets and then the Elon. Mm-hmm. It all makes sense.
I mean, there are pieces of something.
Yeah. Instead of just being like, hey, I heard there was a prophecy that Elon's going to be president of Mars. Fun. Isn't that interesting?
Cool.
All right, let's just move forward
on
with that.
Yeah. I think that one of the reasons that people like Carrie don't learn more about the things that they see like this is because if you learn more, it's less fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But in this case, it's actually more fun because then you'd learn it was von Braun.
Right.
They can have all kinds of fun with that.
Right. This is very much, this has got to be a learned behavior that is so much for you and I, it would be like putting our hand on the burner, the proverbial burner, you know? Ah, I got burned. I'm not going to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they look into stuff, they get disappointed by reality.
I mean, it must have happened a couple times, and then you learn, like, don't dig too far.
I
mean, like, this show really is a manifestation of what happens when you take claims and then you try and explore them past the surface level of the headlines that Alex reads.
Yeah.
And you see the results of it.
Yeah.
It doesn't bend towards Alex being right about stuff.
No.
And I think that on some level, subconscious or otherwise, people like Carrie probably have that intuition too.
Yeah.
Like, best not to actually try and confirm things.
Totally.
Instead, let's take our information from a murderer who makes stuff up.
Right.
Let's take our information from weird monster manuals that a guy at Veterans Today post.
Yeah, this is totally, they're not aware of it. It's just Skinnerism, like the level of like, I've just, if I don't look, things good happen. If I do look, things bad happen.
Yep.
And that's that. They never have to be aware of that.
Yeah, I think there's just, probably something to that.
Yeah.
So anyway,
wow.
What an adventure. I think, you know, obviously we've missed some of the alien talk, and I'm glad that there was a little bit of it. I'm terrified to learn that Africa is under the control of the Aldebarans.
Ugh.
This is big news.
I
think that's earth-shattering news.
I mean, it's at least 1/7 of Earth being shattered.
Well, but I mean, how does that affect how we would go about our lives?
Just knowing that, I mean, the fact that somebody, and not somebody, I mean, I'm not talking about specifically like a person, although I assume it could be a person.
Well, not a person.
In this cosmology, could just be like, okay, Aldebarans, you guys are dope. Mm-hmm. You get Africa.
But you got to help us with space colonies.
Totally. But I mean, like, you can't just say you get Africa.
Right.
Who did that?
The fact that somebody conceivably has that power is earth shattering.
Yeah, absolutely. That needs to be explored.
The idea that the Chinese are working with spider beings is troubling, if true.
For sure. I mean, not because we're anti-spider.
No.
No.
No, no. We know we are into the spider leadership.
Absolutely.
You have a shirt.
I have got a shirt. Yeah. We're not anti-spider here.
They're helpful. They eat bugs around the house. Yeah,
absolutely.
And, you know.
Yeah, we're anti-beetle. If I remember the Vietnam conflict.
They were in Vietnam.
Vietnam was
us fighting beetles.
Just a quagmire.
And every now and again, beetles come through portals and try and eat people.
Totally.
And that's why there are wildfires and things like that in order to cover up for the portals.
And I think there
were
some beetles in Iraq one time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why there was bombs to close the Stargate.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. It's the Stargates. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think that they wanted to steal antiques and stuff too, like relics.
See, this is what COVID really took away from us.
Yeah.
All of our good conspiracies are now just like, oh, there's Ebola.
Yeah, I think the world is so bad in many ways that like the fun elements of this space conspiracy stuff, it kind of, it's robbed. We're deprived of it.
Yeah, I think, you know, we're all just too emotionally charged about everything all the time, you know? Like, she can't enjoy these conspiracies. She's too mad because we're being murdered by Ebola aliens or whatever, you know?
That's a piece of it, and I think the other piece of it, too, is that the phenomenon of Trump brought in so much conspiracism to politics that overlap is ruining conspiracism.
It ruins
along
it so
with
bad.
Politics.
Yeah. It turns both of them worse.
Yeah.
Conspiracies are more boring and politics is more destructive.
Well, at least there used to be like political conspiracy and you had like JFK assassination and stuff like that.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah.
then you had stuff that maybe was tertiarily involved with politics, but it lived in a different space.
And the real crazies would combine the two and they'd be like, oh, aliens killed JFK. And you'd be like, well, now we know we don't have to worry about you, sir.
And there'd be less of that.
Yeah.
New agey conspiracy stuff, and then they'd all just filtered all towards QAnon stuff and blah.
Now it's all one.
But anyway, we got a little bit of a taste of the old days.
Oh, we did.
And much needed.
Delicious.
So we'll be back, Jordan, for probably a present day episode on Monday.
Indeed we will.
But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight, and @GoToBedJordan.
Ah, that thing in my eye is back.
Ah!
It's not. Okay. I was joking. Not a good joke. Call back, at least. Anyway, we'll be back.
Pleading callback.
But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I hope you all have a dreamy, creamy summer.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.